Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Reyes, and we welcome you to the show. Today is August the 5th, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And we're in day 2 of our 9-day Why Intensive, and so let's welcome Michael. Michael, are you there? Well, I'm not sure what's going on with his phone. It's showing he's on the switchboard. And there he is.
I was mute button challenged, so excuse me. Welcome, everybody. We're delighted that you're with us once again to talk about this ancient technology called forgiveness, a technology of the mind that is unlike anything that has ever been present on planet Earth. It's pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing thing to understand how the mind works at a depth where if there is content in your mind that causes you pain, you have the tools and a way to go into that content and literally remove it. It's really quite an amazing process, and we are blessed that you're with us to share these tools. And we are, as Jeannie says, into our second day of 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, and the energy is moving. We are back at Heartland and started last night, and all things moving forward. And the project is that of coming to the point of not only understanding how to forgive, but actually applying it. One of the biggest challenges in applying forgiveness in one's life is that it calls for looking into Pandora's box, so to speak. And when you look into Pandora's box, what you find is whatever's there. And if you look at the generational idea, you know, the ancient Aramaic spoke of the energies that we engage in that are off the mark that become registered within our physiology. And the term that was used, translated by the Greeks out of Aramaic, engaging in an energy that's off the mark, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, nutritional, whatever it is, engaging in energy that doesn't belong in your system was called sin. It's nothing to do with the Greek idea of you're a sinner and all that terrible, horrible, you know, stuff that goes along with that whole story. It's really simple. If I put an energy that's off the mark into my tissue structure, I have put sin. I've put that into my structure. And what they understood 2,000 years ago, and the geneticists are now just starting to catch on, it's just starting to make a dent in our modern so-called scientific world. And when I say so-called scientific, I mean the mind that's closed and calls itself scientific. You know, in theory, science is open to all evidence, and yet there are so many sources of evidence that just get totally blocked. And so I question whether the mind that is blocked is actually a scientific mind. And when you look at the ancient Aramaic language, first of all, They knew that an energy off the mark was stored in your structure. And they knew that that energy that was off the mark that was stored in your structure would be passed from generation to generation to generation. The geneticists are just getting excited about discovering that idea. Do some research on the internet, and that's the conversation. We did a show on that last week or the week before last, and read some of the latest research that's saying, oh my God, the fear, it's passed to the next generation. This new generation that's never been exposed to this fear just automatically has it. Yeah, we live in an energetic world, and this was understood thousands of years ago. And so when we get lost in those generational patterns of rage and guilt and grief and fear and sadness and anger and hatred and vengeance, when those things are passed to us, though we come in clearly, purely as the presence of love, if you ask anyone on the planet to describe the essence of their newborn child, the word that will come will be some variation on the theme of love. So we start out as that, but that's not what our bodies contain. Our bodies contain whatever has gone on in our generations. And over time, the tendency is for the being, that active presence of love, the true being that we are, to lose awareness to what's stored in its own structure. And so we live either in that mind of love where we started out, and you look at the newborn, you look at the one-year-old, you look at the two-year-old, you look at the three-year-old. By the age of four, when the stress is up and the chips are down, you're going to have trouble finding a newborn that's functioning out of love. Or pardon me, you're going to have trouble finding a four-year-old that's functioning out of love. It's going to be really hard to do. Which means that when the stress is up and the chips are down, human life is gone for that four-year-old. And then the world comes in and keeps piling in and piling in and piling in energies that match what we hold within our own structure. Because we are resonating energy fields, we set up and draw to us exactly what it is that we hold within our genes and within our minds and within our emotions. And so the world comes along to reinforce the truth of those things, and we get stuck in believing that because the world reinforces the truth of those things, that they must be the truth. When in fact, what has happened is that by holding those energies within our structure, we draw someone who plays it out with us. But we believe the evidence that it's out there, it's not in here, and it's all somebody else's fault. And when we do that, when we fall into that trap of believing that what I'm feeling is caused by somebody and something outside of me, then I live in denial. The thought or the speaking that you made me mad, you made me sad, you made me afraid is called denial. It's the most important aspect of denial. Yes, there is an aspect of, you know, something that's true, I say isn't true, and we call that denial too. But the really impactful, important aspect of denial is think or speak as though you caused this to happen inside of me. I'm in denial. And here's where the understanding of how the mind works comes in from 2,000 years ago. When you go into denial, you dissociate or you create what's called an unconscious mind. In the ancient Aramaic, it was called the heart. And as we just said, those energies that we hold draw to us experiences based upon what that which we hold. So in the ancient Aramaic, they understood that you start out as love, you buy into the denial game, you blame everybody else, you create a natural unconscious condition called the heart. And you remember they said, take care of the heart, for other are the issues in life. They were saying, take care of what you deny and dissociate from, because that's the energy that's going to govern your creative process. And then they said, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother, which is not a bleeding heart statement. That's a statement of, you've got to go into the part of your mind that holds that pain inside of you, start to own it, and remove it from your structure. Well, Michael, how do you remove it? The process is called forgiveness. And you'll notice the Greek turned it totally and completely backward. Turn it around inside out, upside down. And now forgiveness is believed to be how I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. So I have something in my mind that I've dissociated from. It causes me pain because it is an energy in tissue that's violating tissue, and the tissue says, ouch. I don't believe that I am the cause of my pain. I believe that you are the cause of my pain. So I say, you made me sad. You made me afraid. You hurt. You really have a problem. If you have, then I have a question for you. If they're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? Maybe you have a problem and you don't know it because you live in denial and dissociation, and you have no idea how to remove from your heart that which you projected into your brain's image of your brother, and it's all your brother's fault. But you'll notice that when you got rid of your brother, you found a buddy to do with you. When you got rid of the buddy to do with you, you found a spouse to do with you. And when you got rid of that spouse, you found another spouse to do with you, and on and on and on it goes. Because it's all an inside job. It's all happening on the interior of our structure. In the first century Aramaic language, the word forgive was the tool with which you enter into the hidden parts of your own mind and you remove what never belonged. So when you think forgiveness, instead of thinking letting somebody off the hook, think removal of what never belonged. What never belonged in the structure made of and for and about love, any form of hostility or fear. And so the work is that of looking into the generational patterns and removing what never belonged. It's a tall order. It's a big job to do that. And it can be done. We're in the process of developing a community of people, and that's what this radio show is about. We are appreciative of everybody that taps in every day that you tap in supporting us and assisting us in taking this forward to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Because we're not going to change the game of insanity on planet Earth until we realize that the pain that we're experiencing is caused from within us. And that when we lash out, we are lashing out against the paper tiger. We're lashing out against something, yes, a behavior that we say caused our pain, but that behavior did not cause our pain. The content in our own mind caused that pain. If that behavior caused our pain, then everybody who was engaged, who had that behavior done to them, would experience the same pain. And you'll notice everybody doesn't. And so we want to move to a new level of understanding of how the mind works, and then create a community of support for moving through these dynamics. And that's what this radio show is about. We have people, you know, any given day from Europe, Asia, Australia, South, North America, and so we're working to create a community of people all around the globe who really do tap into, use the tools, and become the space of support and healing. Everyone else who joins in on the show, and for everyone on the planet. So we're just delighted that you're here to share with us. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
And glad to be here.
You sound like you're on the road.
I'm on the road. I'm nearing my office. I'll be there in 10 minutes or so. I was listening to the book As a Man Thinketh today.
Right.
And what a wonderful example of how, as I've built new brain cells, that book gets better and better.
Tell me what struck you about it.
Well, what struck me is that at deeper and deeper levels, I hear in the words of the book the understanding that it's all completely an inside job. And so on the surface, it may look like somebody who is nasty and dishonest and greedy has a lot of money. And someone would think, oh, well, so the way to get a lot of money is to be nasty and dishonest and greedy. But if you see the whole picture of that person's mind and the trials and tribulations they go through and what's going to happen to them in 5 or 10 years if they've accumulated that wealth with dishonesty and greed, you understand it's an immutable law that operates all the time. And if I think in a certain way, I bring about those energies in my life. And the author of that book had been studying much the same principles as Yeshua was teaching, that as I choose to think, I create my life. What the energies that make up my body, that make up my relationships, that make up my physical surroundings. And the first time I went through that book, I didn't hear much of that at all. I heard more about finances, but this time I heard at deeper and deeper levels a great appreciation for the laws of how the world works through resonance and the choice of mind energy as a creative force.
For sure. For sure. Powerful stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's been out there. You know, Yeshua put it out there, and it's been out there in various spiritual teachings for a lot of years. And it just boggles my mind how thoroughly our culture has developed without an understanding of that. And I personally was conditioned for at least the first 45 years of my life in pretty much the opposite direction.
One of the things that, for me to add to that discussion is to go back and recognize the understanding, even as you're speaking about it, of brain cells. And Grieff was saying that in order to understand and utilize the teaching, you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And people look on the very surface, and they think they know what he's talking about, and they make up stories and doctrines and dogmas based in it without the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And, you know, he spoke of that in his day, and he said, there'll be many who will come to me calling my name, but I'm going to say, go away from me, because you're not doing what I'm suggesting at all. You're not engaging in the work that I'm teaching. You've got another story you've made up. Your father, that is the mind based in hostility or fear, is who's running your story. And in order to really truly understand what I'm teaching you, you have to develop those eyes to see and ears to hear, a whole new set of brain cells. And it's certainly exciting when they develop and you get to see it on deeper and deeper and deeper levels, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the primary reasons that I carve out the time to be on this show 5 days a week, or almost every one of the 5 days of the week, and why I participate in the support group, because it just allows me to make this connection and get a deeper understanding, and then to see it more actively in my life day in and day out, because I keep it top of mind.
Absolutely. It's something that occurred to me many, many years ago when I was part-time engaged in this process. I was brought up in a world where it was all about, go out and make money. And then finally it dawned on me, no, it's not about that. That's not my purpose at all. And I walked away from the business world and went back to doing this full-time. And the best way to be a full-time student of it is to become a full-time teacher of it. So that's definitely a piece of insight that serves when people start to let go of what they've been taught the world and move into the truth of who they are and functioning out of what they are.
I lost you, Michael. Are you there?
Yeah, I lost him too. I thought maybe it was my phone. So, Michael, if you're there, you have disappeared.
He dropped off, right in talking about the truth of who they are.
But we'll give him a minute and see if he pops right back in. Definitely,
yeah.
One of the... go ahead.
I was saying, if he recognizes that he's off, sometimes my phone doesn't let me know I dropped the connection for a while.
Right. Oh, there he is. He's back on. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, my phone just cut out there for a second. Yeah, it just disconnected. Cell phones, what can I say? So, Dr. Tim, it's a delight that you are on the show as often as you are and that you support us. We certainly appreciate that. Big time, and the insight you bring and the work that you do with people is just monumental and phenomenal and much appreciated.
Well,
I don't know how we would carry on the show with the way we travel and stuff without your support. So we certainly appreciate it very much.
Well, the feeling is mutual, and I get far more in return than I give, both to the show and to the support group.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, any other thoughts to share before we check with the phone line? Anything you're seeing in your practice and your pattern? Did you get your office finished up, by the way?
Well, it's in the process. Today, though, it's supposed to be one of the last days of laying new carpet and putting in new light fixtures. So it's still a work in progress.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing it when we get up there.
All right. Well, I'm complete for now.
Okay. Blessings. Much appreciated. So, Jeannie,
hey,
do we have anything happening in the chat room? Or do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have a caller, and I believe that it might be Julie, 541. You're on the air. 541
is
area code.
Julie from Ashland, Oregon? Hello, Julie.
Hey, I was on mute. Thank you.
Okay. I do that, too.
Hello, Julie. Hello, Julie. Have you been being quite unruly? Yes. Hello. Michael, this is just fantastic, some of these things that are going on in my life. I just want to give a little kind of a date on how this all is working so well. And my main point is the gentleness with which anything unlike love is removed, and trusting that. And I'm just always so grateful when I can fall back on that. For example, my body has been going through a lot of physical releasings, and I'm seeing it as the elimination of anything unlike love at the body level. So it's been really interesting to just keep watching these hives that I've been having, which are slightly itchy, and they move around my whole body different places every day. And I'm taking some antihistamine to moderate it, but I'm still staying as aware as I can and not taking the histamine at night, the antihistamine. And I'm learning a lot, and I'm trusting that some things big are being removed, like what's been shown to me recently, and what I've been focusing on emotionally is my aversion. You had me do some worksheets on that. My aversion to slavery, and anytime I feel enslaved, I just get so angry. I get myself angry. I create the experience of anger from the thoughts of believing that I am enslaved. And I finally unlocked some of that the other day, and I will say that I was in the resonance, and I did project it somewhat, and I actually saw it ripple out amongst some coworkers. And it was weird, and I didn't know how to pull it back exactly, except I did the inner work. Am I sounding too vague right now? Should I be specific?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. So I was at a restaurant working, and I was upset. I became upset that the other people weren't doing as much work as I was. Okay, so I went into my slavery resonance. And I did a worksheet in my mind on the spot, and I found out that I had a goal that I wanted to be the boss so that I could do things my way and make everybody else do things my way. And that was from an old generational thing. I just knew it. And I was allowing myself to imagine that I really was a slave. So I kind of just brought myself back to love, and I went and apologized to a couple of people and took responsibility. And anyway, the next couple of days, so someone comes on the radio show I like to listen to, an author, and he was being interviewed, and he's a doctor. He's black, okay? He became a doctor. He is a surgeon, and he also is a poet. And the poetry he wrote from the conscious continuity of his life and the way he achieved certain powerful stature, you know, and persevered so that he could have money and stature. He wrote some amazing, strong, powerful poetry that gave a voice to what has happened to black people in our country and even before. So it was a real huge perspective on slavery for me, and I believe I was ready for it. It came into my reflection, and what it did for me is that it triggered my resonances, my huge grief. It unlocked a big load of grief. And I've been sensing this grief, this impending grief going on with me, and I've been trying to associate it with people who've died recently in my life, or maybe my dog's going to die, or my father's going to die, or what is this? And it really unlocked the huge amount of grief of what these people experienced over these hundreds of years. So I'm happy to be on the other side of that. I'm sure there's more, but it released a lot of anxiety just because this one person was able to look into his experience of pain and despair and his people's experience of pain and despair and bring it forth in the form of poetry, and it resonated into me, and I got a release because I've been wanting it. You know, I've been wanting to get through that. So
it's so nice to have the tools to know how to do that, isn't it?
Yeah. And
so I have a
suggestion of
a movie that you might want to watch. We actually watched this at the completion of the Codependence because there are so many power person dynamics involved in this movie. And, of course, it was a Codependence intensive. But if there are any more layers of that to come forward, this film will probably bring it up for you. And I'd sit and watch it and be very conscious of my breath and have worksheets and just, you know, even stop the film and do worksheets as things are triggered, or maybe even invite someone to be there as support to who perhaps doesn't have those same issues who can help me to remain conscious. But the movie is entitled The Power of One, and it's about slavery in Africa. And you know, as each of us looks at the pain that we hold around any given issue on the planet and chooses to become responsible for that pain and remove that pain, we're the ones who are liberated from the pain, and we open an energy window for anyone else on the planet who has the same issue to also walk through and work through it. So it's powerful, powerful to do.
Thank you. I may have seen it, but I'll look it up again. I don't recall that I did get a chance to see it. That brings up the fact that this author and doctor, he definitely refers to the unity of our oneness in our struggle, you know, and that, you know, we're freeing everybody of all kinds, not just the black people, the black race. I'd like to give his name out in case anyone would like to look him up. His name is Dr. Neal, N-E-A-L, Hall, H-A-L-L. And he's at info@surgeonpoet.com or www.surgeonpoet.com. And he's actually moving more into poetry and away from his practice. So he's doing it 50-50, I suppose. But he definitely sees that our behavior needs to change, and it has to come from feeling these emotions. And when we do that, our minds and our hearts will change, and we will become more one. So
okay.
I don't think I spoke thoroughly for him, but I would encourage anyone. And thank you, because I'll take that next lead from you and see that movie and feel those feelings.
Yeah, one of the things that often happens when people have an issue around anything is what they do is if anything threatens to bring that issue up, they turn tail and run instead of head for and embrace it. Our suggestion is head for and embrace it, because hiding from it will never change it. It'll just perpetuate it. But when we take responsibility and choose to change those dynamics within ourselves, then we can put an end to that cycle in our own lives, and at the same time, we can awaken to the truth of who we are and create differently. while we're unconscious, you know, and that statement, you know, when we started the introduction, we talked about the heart being a code word in the ancient scriptures for the unconscious. And when they said, take care of the unconscious or the heart, for out of it are the issues in life, they were speaking very accurately, and that understanding that when we choose to stay in hiding of something that's within ourselves, we simply reinforce whatever that is and get to play it out over and over. And when we play it out, this is an issue that we really addressed in the intensive, in the codependence intensive. When we play it out over and over, we end up simply reinforcing the belief that the cause is outside of us, because that's where it gets played out, and forget that what is outside of us has been drawn to us or resonated in or attracted to us by what's held on the inside. And that's why in the ancient scriptures, where they understood this, they didn't say, take care of the other guy, for out of them are the issues in life. They said, take care of the heart. Take care of your own internal space. Clean it up, and you won't be facing that issue. But the world has really trained us to turn cause and effect backward, and that is a disastrous thing to have happen in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that I am receiving some of the wisdom from your codependence workshop this year, your intensive. So thank you. You're always so giving forth of the highest and the best. I appreciate that.
Well, we're just going for every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and we're delighted that you're one of them and that you're sharing it with others. It's awesome. That's what makes it all happen and makes it all work.
Yep, it does. Cool. Okay, well, have
all
a
right.
good
thank
day.
Thank you for your call.
Uh-huh, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Love and blessings. Bye-bye. So our calling number is 646-200-4169. If you're in the phone queue and you hit 1, that will put a little hand up in the control panel and Jimmy will introduce you. If you're in the chat room and you're there as a guest, unfortunately, the way that Blog Talk has it set up, you can't speak as a guest in the chat room, but the registration process is really easy to do, and you'll be able to carry on a conversation, join the conversation, ask questions in the chat room, and Jeannie will share those questions with us. So, and we'd much prefer the questions to be totally live, because when I get a chance to tap into the really, truly live energy, we can much more easily drill down to the core issue. And so that's what we're here to support. And so if you have a question for us, push 1. Come on. And if you're shy or afraid or, you know, oh, I can't do that, I invite you to have the courage to step out and push that button and ask your question. Oftentimes, we think we have it all figured out. We think we have the answer, and we're still in pain. We're still in turmoil. We're still blaming other people for what's going on inside of us. If you think you've got it figured out and you're still in pain, you're lying to yourself. You haven't got it figured out. You've just told yourself a story to keep from looking at what's really there, and that's why you don't reach out on the next level. Because to reach out to the next level, you'd have to give up your lie. You'd have to look at the next deeper level. And that's what we're here to support everybody in doing. That's what we're here to do ourselves. And so it's an awesome opportunity to be with you to do this. And I invite you, if you haven't called into the show yet, pick up the phone. Call. Ask your question. If you're just listening on the computer or in the chat room, ask the question. Personally, with the vibration of your own voice. You know, and I said the other day that when I first started teaching, it was almost the first time on the platform, was almost such a disaster because I had my notes all prepared. I knew what I was going to say. And back then, 45 years ago, I didn't realize that I functioned intuitively. And so when you bring the vibration of your voice forward, it gives us more of an opportunity to tap in and offer support around the true issues that are going on in your world. And that's what we're here to do, and we're just delighted to have the opportunity. So once again, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, there's no questions. Michelle offered for Julie that it sounded like her DNA was realigning and activating. So I passed that on to Julie. She's still listening. And we're just chatting in the chat room, and nobody has their hand up or a question. So.
Well, that means that the next person who puts their hand up is first in line without any waiting. And we've got about 15 minutes left, so we've got time for questions. And we would love to hear your questions. And so if you just hit one, that'll raise your hand in the phone queue, and we'll get to play. We'll get to talk about what's the next level of your work look like. And maybe your question will give me the gift of what's the next level of my work look like. And that's how it all works. But I found over the years that the most important. Oh, great. Let's go for it.
First one is area code 417. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, everybody. This is Magda calling.
Hey, delighted to hear your voice, young lady. How are you? By the way, we're going to start the Y Workshop. If you guys want to join us, you were on my list to call. It's just been a busy morning. If you'd like to join us for the Y Workshop, it's probably going to start around 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that. Well, no, actually, it'll start this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Trying to juggle some ideas in my mind and schedules and stuff. Thank you. We might be able to. I'm calling right now because I'd like to ask for support for two things. Chuck's dog. We haven't Chuck. You know Chuck. She's our older dog.
Sure.
And
sure.
We haven't seen her since yesterday at about 5 o'clock. And she has been very close to transitioning for a while now, about a month, and so we suspect that she's gone off somewhere to transition. And what I'd like very much is for people who feel so inclined to hold a space of love for her transitioning, and also for us to be able to find her so that we can do a proper burial. If indeed
right.
we're supposed to do that. So that's one thing I'm asking for. And then I'm having a tremendous amount of sadness coming up. That's triggered by this.
Yeah.
So I know that there's more going on than just Chalk and her transition. And I'm just not sure what to do with it right now.
We'll just take a couple of deep breaths with you. That's one of the most immediate solutions there is. And we also hold the space for Chuck. And I can only imagine after, what age is Chuck? He's had her for so many years.
Yeah.
It's got to be triggering many things for him. And so we hold both of you. And let's just breathe together for a moment. On the show to also breathe and to hold the space. I know she's been an awesome companion and friend.
Yeah, she has been. Interestingly, when I first met her, which was probably, 5 years ago, I really didn't like her very much because I prefer smaller, cuddly dogs, fluffy things, you know. And she, to me, was a very large dog. And
she's definitely a big dog.
She's been living here. Go ahead. What?
I say she's definitely a big dog.
She's a big dog. Well, now that we have the Great Pyrenees, she looks like a small, medium-sized
right.
dog.
Yeah,
but
now
she's
tiny. It's all relative. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've come to love her so much in the time that she's been here with us. So that's been an interesting experience of having the opportunity to love a being who is completely ready to love anyone. and so it has elicited my response to love her. I'm wondering what would be the best for me to do to dig into what other grief I have around losses. I know that that's what's going on. I'm just not sure how to approach it.
Well, how about a mind shifter?
Oh, sounds good. I like mind shifters.
And to anyone who's on the show that's not familiar with that tool, it's a tool that we teach. It's a written tool, and I'm going to share a mind shifter on this issue with this whole situation around loss. And Magda, we just really do hold the space as we tap into that. And for those, again, who are listening, who aren't familiar with the mind shifter, basically what you do with it is you take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, you write the mind shifter on the left-hand side of the page, and then write everything, every thought, every feeling, every sensation, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that comes up in response to it. And because the mind works by resonance, it just kind of tends to move the energy from the hidden parts of the mind until they come up to the surface. And so how about, Magda, it's safe and healing.
Okay.
And I easily maintain the condition of love.
Okay. I grabbed the wrong. Can I go over? It's safe and healing.
It's safe and healing, and I easily maintain the condition of love.
And I easily maintain the condition.
When I am with death.
Oh, yeah, that strikes a chord.
Or loss.
With death.
Or loss.
I didn't hear the rest. And loss.
With death,
okay.
And loss.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you. That really, that was a home run. I could feel that. Yeah, okay. I will do that. Thank you. And then?
All right, and then we'll just keep holding the space with you. And if we can be of any more support, you know where
yeah.
we are, and we're going to see you tonight. You know,
okay, and you said you might start around 2:30, was it?
Say it again?
Did you say you might start around 2:30 today?
Actually, we'll probably get through to the starting the water workshop evening session tonight, so it'll be at 6:30.
Oh, in the evening. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate
okay.
you. Okay.
See you later, I hope.
All right.
Bye-bye.
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 Big issue
yeah,
on the planet.
Yeah. Okay, we do have another caller. We've still got 15 minutes. So I think this might be Brad in Colorado. Area code 970, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're blessed and highly favored. How about you, sir?
Feeling the same way. There's more opportunities.
Good to hear your voice. At the beginning of the show, I was thinking, you know, we haven't heard Brad's voice in a while. I wonder what that young man's up to.
Trying to get myself motivated to do more of my own personal work.
Uh-huh. Well, I heard that you had a conversation with Julie about maybe coming to the Laws of Living Intensive and cranking up the energy a little. Is that looking like it might be in your near future?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think so this year, Michael, but that doesn't mean it's out of the radar. And I've even had one phone conversation with Patrick. You know, we had a short conversation a few days ago, and I won't continue those.
Cool.
And so that opened up another means of support and being able to share, you know, similar things that we're both dealing with and what he's worked through and what I've worked through. So it's just another opportunity to, you know, delve a little deeper into, you know, my issues, his issues in life.
And, yeah, well, and Michael is here as well, Michael Coughlin, who you've heard on the show before, and opening up some of his experiences as a military trainer and combat vet. And so he's here for the summer. Actually, he'll be here through the end of Laws of Living. So it's interesting when I'm reminded of about, oh, it's probably 4 or 5 years ago now, we were speaking in a, I don't even remember where it was at this moment, and someone came up and said that in the quatrains of Nostradamus, there was a reference to the warriors coming to Heartland to be healed. And I've never been into Nostradamus, but somebody said that that was there, and it seems like more and more that the space is opening for that trauma that the vets carry to be addressed and to be moved through, and there's more support for it from people who, you know, Michael's been doing his work now for about 3 or 4 years. Huge shifts for him, 1997, I believe. And so there's definitely a support platform for it to open and move.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to have that. And, you know, a lot of my, where I'm focusing in on right now is in, you know, my own personal code and power person dynamics, and really trying to bring that up because I know how much it affects me in my life and
right.
know how I live out of that. And so much of it is with my father, and also not trying to let my mind take me to that place that I feel like I'm always trying to, you know, beat up on him for, you know, the things that he did that he instilled in me, and now I live my life out of. And, you know, I see that it's coming up more and more. And
let me ask a question.
Pardon?
Let me ask a question. Before you started doing this work, without your father present, how many times did you beat up on yourself?
Plenty.
So if you remember the section in the worksheet where in number 6C, it says, how have I violated this goal? And obviously the goal for Dad would be probably multiple, but focused around him being caring and recognizing you and gentle and nurturing with you. And notice that because you walked into a genetic bloodline that didn't have that capacity, you didn't have that capacity to do it for yourself, and you didn't need Dad there. And to recognize that you violated the goals toward yourself that you thought your dad should have been perfect at doing might help to open another space of compassion for him. Because guess what? He had a power person. And you know what his power person did? Exactly what, against your own will and choice, you've done to yourself. And you know what his power person's power person did? More of the same.
Same thing.
And I acknowledge you for how you've changed that family dynamic, that you've chosen to go in a different direction. That's awesomely powerful. And, of course, there's work to be done because ultimately what you're going to do is you're going to face all those generational patterns and move through them. And that's quite a process.
Yeah, it's the biggest challenge that's ever been put forth, you know, in my life. It's come forward and you know, to work through these things, and because it there's a number of things that play into that. My father was also a combat vet, suffered from PTSD, never got the help he needed. My grandfather was also a combat vet, and I, going back further into the lineage, I don't know how many before were, and then I, being a combat vet, and have to go through those experiences and then look at also the power person dynamics that I received in the military, you know, from my drill sergeants and so forth, of beating you down and to making you feel like you're not worth much other than just becoming a killer, and to build up that anger and that aggression to where you actually would take that training and go out and do those type of things. And then when it's all said and done with, about how to put your life back together, you know, with a combination of all these other things going on too. And, you know, I don't blame or hold accountable a lot of those things that are going on. I try not to blame others for the pain I feel. That's one thing I've learned in this work. You know, it's all an inside job. It's just what I'm turning a neutral thought into, you know, in my own mind, of creating the illusions and the perceptions that are off target. And I, you know, sarcasm was one of my father's greatest used tools in his repertoire. And, you know, I often find myself when the stress is up and the chips are down, I use sarcasm as a way not to, it's almost automatic, you know, it's like, you know, within just like a 1/1000th of a second, man, there it is. It just pops right up. It's on automatic. And then also how I tuck-tail and run sometimes in the areas of intimacy and trying to be love and holding the space of love in both the giving and receiving of. You know, all those things I realize attribute to how I'm perceiving all this. And, you know, I'm working on my personal code as to what I actually identify myself with and, you know, how much I'm living in the negative side of things and how much I'm living in the positive things. How much of, you know, how much respect and love do I have for self? And I'm looking at that and, you know I have a lot of great attributes and that aren't have anything to do with power person dynamics. I developed them on my own, trying to see the goodness in all things and having the respect and the love for life and not letting those things, those negative things, take me out of the joy or the happiness of the experience of letting, I try to let life live through me. I don't try to control it and say I try to live life. And it's, you know, it's becoming more apparent to me that, you know, those dynamics, those power person dynamics have vastly affected me in my life. And you know, I've run from those about, you know, trying to bring those up and forward for so long in my life. Now that I'm doing it, yeah, I get frightened a lot of times. I want to resort back to my old ways of just shutting it off, not doing the work, and just denying it.
And that's the process, you know, the difference between functioning out of being where you have choices and you go, well, this is absolutely what I'm going to do, and then recognizing that the opposite decisions are in carbon-based memory, and the work is each time you forgive, you weaken those decisions in carbon-based memory so that you can make new choices. But that's it's huge. It's huge. And people are functioning against their own will and choice all the time because of the urgings and the promptings of that multi-generational database called the body-mind unit. And it's just time for us to step in and you know, it's kind of like the old thing of how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. You do one piece of work at a time and move through those dynamics. I mean, that's just what it takes. I know you were talking about the trainers. There's one trainer that I worked with, and he was railing on his father for how his father beat him. And, you know, the split in the mind is so apparent. He was railing on how his father beat him and how, you know, horrible that was and how terrible it was. And then literally 30 seconds later, sits up in a strong, clear voice, looked at everybody in the room and said, "And I took your sons and I beat them into men." I mean, exactly what he was railing against his power person, his father, doing to him, is exactly what then he was proud of having done as a military trainer. And, you know, the split mind, you know, Yeshua says a house divided against itself can't last. That split mind's got to go sooner or later. And it's a task. And I acknowledge your courage and willingness to face and walk through these things. Because it's
well,
huge.
That's part of my prayer work is asking for the courage and the strength, you know, to keep going forward with this and not back off. And
I understand.
So
Specific things we can support you with? We're down to about 3 minutes, so if there's anything specific we can support you with, I would be just delighted. I would love to do that.
Well, I think you've already doing that, and at least acknowledging, you know, where I'm at, and, you know, along with so many other people, that there's so much of that we're suffering from is due to power person dynamics and what we've identified ourselves as being. So just to hear the words of encouragement from you and those on the support team and all those listening, you know, that we're not unlike, you know, so unlike each other. We're more in the likeness of each other than anything, and we
absolutely
all suffer from so many of these things, you know, in unison and with each other, and try to work through them and not run, and just delve into it, because I know the different physical symptoms of, you know, how other callers always talking about. Yeah, I go through those all the time. My vitality is all over the place. You know, my body symptoms sometimes, what comes up is comes up and out. It's amazing, because you describe it very well. It's, you know, bringing this stuff up and out this time is much more painful and difficult than it was the first time going down.
Right. And one of the things to remember here is that when you're going back through a memory of pain, you're actually going back through a memory of pain. It isn't real pain. It's a memory of pain. We can re-empower it and make it real, but it is just a memory of pain. And if you can remember that and maintain the presence of active love at the same time as you're going through that, it will make the process much easier. And, you know, we're struggling. It's an ancient struggle. You know, it was expressed in an ancient language years ago, and it's thought of as a religious language, but the Aramaic really isn't. But in the Aramaic, they said that the goal of the work was to be of like mind with Christ. And you look at Christ, and people think religion, but in fact, he was a human who functioned as the active presence of love. And he brought that love forward when the stress was up and the chips were down in his own life in the most disastrous way. He still brought forward that active presence of love instead of functioning out of his body's mind, his multi-generational database, which we call carbon-based memory. And the reason we call it carbon-based memory is because your body is made of carbon. If you talk to a physiologist or a physicist, they'll tell you the base element in your body is carbon. And when you look at the fact that carbon has 6 electrons, 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 666, we've got the mind of Christ to the Antichrist. And it's time to wake up to that higher mind, and we're here to support you with it. Our time is up. Jeannie just called time, and so we appreciate everybody joining us. We'll close the show up, bring a strength to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.